Yeah, I'll give you a handout at some point, free, so it'll work out okay. So, okay, I'm really excited that a lot of you are thinking about season extension for growing produce in the state, and I think every year more people have high tunnels here in West Virginia, and more are thinking about them. So I think it's the right move for a lot of these crops. So I think the problem we face in the state continues to be a supply problem, a supply of locally grown produce. And that's limited by our growing season. We're just not pushing the limits of our growing season enough. And that's just constrained by our climate, which is fixed. Even though it seems like it's up and down every year, we're still not really sure how long we can harvest crops in the field or how early we can plant in the spring. So moving towards season extension technology is definitely the right way to go. So you can produce leafy greens even in the snow, and it's possible to do it even in the dead of winter. So I tell folks that there's no reason why you can't have a 12-month cropping season here in the state. Now, I'll just sort of give you an aside to that, is some people don't want to crop year-round, and I don't blame you, because maybe you're tired enough by the end of October that you don't want to do anything the rest of the winter, and that's fine. But I mean, if you just want an even cash flow, I mean, if farming is most of your income and you need an even flow of money year-round, then you need to start thinking about extending the season for your production and marketing. So along with extending the growing season, you're also extending your marketing season. So they sort of go hand in hand. So it's sort of adopting different types of technologies, such as using row covers, which I'll get into more a little bit later on, and also these high tunnels, which Pam already mentioned. And Brad mentioned this morning high tunnels. I won't have to go through the definition enough for you, but I highlighted snow and ice, because if you're starting to think about using these things for winter production, keeping the snow, ice, and keeping the temperature up is really what you're using these things for. Pest invasion is sometimes an issue in the winter, but generally it's that weather, it's those weather events you want to keep off of the crop. An important thing to remember about high tunnels is when you move into production is that you're attempting to store heat in there, and you're storing heat from the sunlight. So if you don't have a lot of sun, like what we've experienced this winter, they don't work real well. So you're constantly struggling to keep them warm. Brad mentioned this morning a modified high tunnel. That means where you may put supplemental heaters in there or fans. You're moving towards a greenhouse when you do that, but there's no reason why you can't have a minimally heated high tunnel. But if you want to be just strict about it and keep your production costs down, you'll do everything you can to store heat naturally, okay, rather than artificially. So the way you store heat in these high tunnels is by the air and by the soil. They're both heat sinks in these structures. So the more, I think, in the winter, the more exposed surface area you have to your soil, the more heat you're going to store. So that's why raised beds make sense all the time in these high tunnels, because you're adding more surface area that's exposed to sunlight. And I think anytime that you have a high tunnel, you're moving in the right direction. But I'm inclined to go to larger size high tunnels that have a lot of air in them, because you're heating that air up during the day and you're keeping that heat during the night. So the larger the high tunnel is, the more warm air you have in there, and the slower it cools down at night. So you may be constrained by startup money, but if you're really looking about using high tunnels for marketing or for a commercial production, it's probably a good idea to start large. And large means something that's maybe 14 or 17 feet high at the peak, 20 to 30 feet wide, 96 to 200 feet long. That would be what I consider to be a large commercial-sized high tunnel. Because I think what will happen is you may start small with a small high tunnel, but you'll eventually upgrade to larger structures when you see how well they work. So there are solar solar run structures. Everything depends on the sunlight. And as I say, soil and air are heat sinks in that structure. I had a grower from Canada send me these pictures a couple weeks ago where he was growing strawberries in there. And even Jim Weichel here has this idea of putting a greenhouse within a greenhouse. And that's what the Japanese do for their passively heated greenhouses. So if you could use the high tunnel structure itself and then build another level of a greenhouse, you're going to even store more heat. And so he has strawberries underneath these low tunnels. So rather than put a unit heater in there or put a double layer of plastic on it, which you could do, by putting a low tunnel, you're capturing as much heat. And it's cheaper than using heaters or even a double layer of plastic. So a lot of the growers who use these high tunnels for winter production usually have that second layer of covering over their crop. Rarely is the crop just exposed to the air in the high tunnel alone. So there's always that second layer. In this case, it's row covers. And a lot of times these row covers are suspended over wickets, bent conduit pipe. And they don't rest on the crop directly, although this row cover is so light that it could just float on the crop without any problem. But the problem you have with it directly on the plant is it'll freeze. And sometimes if you'll pull it off in the morning, it'll actually tear the plants off. So it's really better to have it suspended above the plant canopy, because you get that air layer there that serves as an insulation, and then the cover's right off of the crop. So, you know, we talked this morning about most of us, or a good portion of us, are in Zone 5. You put a high tunnel up on your farm, you're now Zone 7. So you can add two hardiness zones to your growing season, and that gives you an idea of what you can do with these things. And you can add 4 more months of production onto warm season crops. And I said, if you really think about it, you could have 12-month production on crops throughout the year. So those of you who were brave enough to come out to our high tunnel yesterday, I applaud you. thanks for wearing the snowshoes, because we sure didn't need it. But this is the one that our extension team built this past summer in Lewis County, and we did a pretty decent job on it. There's still some work to be done, but this was a good test year for winter cropping in a high tunnel. I tell you, I couldn't ask for a worse year or a better year. I don't know how you put it, but it really got tested to the limits. As you know, it's not really been that cold. We've been measuring temperatures there. Our lowest temperature event was 8 below, and that was 31st of January. But we've not had protracted cold weather. And if you're growing crops out in the field, it's nice to have that snow cover. So, you know, even though it's not been cold, it's been a good mulch. But obviously, trying to grow salad greens out in the open with this much snow as we've had, they'd be flattened. So, I mean, just to having that structure to keep the snow off of it so that they can get some light whenever we do have light really makes them work. So it's been a good test. And if you want to know more about winter cropping, then more than I can ever tell you, is consult Elliot Coleman's book on the winter harvest manual. And I swear there's not a weed in his high tunnel. I mean, he's just like, he must airbrush them out or something, because it just looks too perfect. But anyway, and then the other book, I know some folks down in Kentucky, the Weedigers, just outside of Bowling Green. I've been to their farm a couple times. They wrote a book called Walking the Spring, and they're growing in Zone 7, so it's kind of have to temper it to your growing zone. But it kind of gives you an idea of what you can and can't grow in these high tunnels. And these are some of the crops that we have in our high tunnel there in Lewis County. A lot of different types of lettuces. There's some kale, there's some kohlrabi, there's some turnips, different types of carrots, there's some scallions. So it's a mix of crops. So that way we could get a pretty broad spectrum of crops that are growing in there and how well they do during the winter temperatures and light levels. But I can't really emphasize enough what Pam said. I mean, it all depends on your market. I told the group yesterday, you don't grow what you like, you grow what you market, right? So you can't pick the crops that you grow sometimes. So, and that really is the ultimate question about growing winter crops in these high tunnels is, can you market them? And that's a really serious question that needs to be answered. And I think the answer is yes, because anytime that you have sort of restaurants that want local produce, you can produce. I was estimating you could produce 4 tons of salad greens from a 30 by 96 high tunnel. What restaurant wouldn't want that volume of salad greens? But just think, if you and your neighbors or a group of farmers got together and had these high tunnels up, and you got involved in winter production, look at the volume of salad greens that you could grow in the winter. So I wouldn't look at it from the standpoint of, producing too small amount of a produce to sell to a restaurant, because you can produce a lot of volume with multiple cuttings on these lettuce crops. Okay? We hopefully are going to be having more winter farmers markets, maybe not every week, but maybe every other week, so there's a way that you can certainly plug into that. We're going to be talking about tomorrow about CSAs and subscription farms. And these CSAs are not just for big cities. I mean, they're well suited to country. Anybody who wants to eat wants good food. So, I mean, they should be able to get it any way they possibly can. So the CSAs are an opportunity to sell winter produce. And there are maybe some chain supermarkets that would be interested in it too. I will tell you, though, when you're growing these leafy greens, they're considered to be the most risky food crop to grow. They're ranked as being the most serious in terms of foodborne illness problems. And I don't know if you've been reading about salad greens and the industry itself, but they're trying to push forward a marketing agreement on salad greens or leafy greens out of California, where everybody who grows these types of crops have to adhere to very strict food safety guidelines, okay? And I mean strict. So because they've had some E. coli outbreaks from spinach and some of these other leafy greens, I'm against that marketing agreement, because it'll actually prevent small farmers from growing leafy greens. These requirements are so stringent that they're not really cost effective. But the argument, again, if somebody brings that up to you as an argument why you probably shouldn't be growing these crops in the winter, just think about it. The only reason you get contamination from food, most foodborne illnesses, come from people touching it a lot. So the supply chain for these salad greens is so long. There's a lot of hands touching it, harvesting it, sorting it, bagging it. So the more produce that we grow right on our farm, close to our markets, less time it's been handled. So there's less risk of foodborne illnesses. So I don't think we need strict, guidelines for growing these crops that would prevent small farmers from doing it. We should all practice good food safety guidelines, but that mostly is common sense with a lot of these crops. Okay, enough of that. High tunnels accumulate heat, as I said, mostly by sunlight. Even in the dead of winter, this was actually one day, a snapshot of one day in January, I don't think it was this year, where you could easily be, if you had sunlight, 30 degrees warmer in a high tunnel. And this would be a single plastic layered high tunnel without any supplemental heat. So you can really bank some heat in there. But the trick is with these high tunnels, is to hold the temperature above 20 degrees at night. And that's an important temperature for plants, because generally most crop plants, when they get below 20 degrees, they start showing winter injury problems. And so you can hold the temperature in these high tunnels above that lethal temperature. So the midday height of the sun in the winter is low. The light intensity is significantly reduced. Bear that in mind. But there's two issues with growing crops in the winter in these high tunnels, and that's light and day length, photoperiod. And they're both very important, because at our latitude, we start getting day lengths less than 10 hours from late November to the end of January. And I'll tell you, plants won't grow at day lengths less than 10 hours. They just won't grow. They'll just go quiescent. They'll just be it's almost in sort of a dormancy. So at our latitude, which is about 37, 38 degrees north latitude, that is our period of time where most of these crops in these high tunnels are sort of just shut down. Okay? So that means that you either need to have been harvesting your crop in advance of that shutdown, or you seed after that shutdown. Okay? So there really are two scenarios that you could follow. The other thing, too, is the light intensity is less than 10 moles, which is the unit they measure light intensity, during most of December and January. So it's really early February when light intensity starts getting high enough that plants start growing again. So there's only so much you can do with these structures without any supplemental light or supplemental heat. But you do the best you can with the row covers and any other thing that stores heat. And there's no reason why you can't turn to a double plastic layer. Adding a double layer of plastic to a high tunnel is going to increase your average daily temperature by 10 degrees Fahrenheit. But it also cuts your light levels by about 10%. So there's a trade-off. There are other advantages to having double layer plastic. It reduces the condensation that forms up on that plastic, so you have less dripping down on the plants. And condensation blocks light in and of itself, too. So just a single layer with condensation can be blocking a fair amount of light. But I think if I was interested in growing winter crops in these high tunnels, I would have a double layer of plastic. And don't think that cheats, because you might have to run a fan in there. The fan could be electric, but it could also be solar powered. And either one would do the job. So they work. So using the row covers in there, having a structure that's built that sheds snow is important. I don't really endorse any greenhouse supplier. These are Rimmel frames, which are it's a company out of New England. They're mostly Gothic frame structures. I think I've shown these pictures before. I like them mainly because they're arched enough so that the snow doesn't stay on them very long. In fact, this was very early morning, and this snow will soon slide off. But they also, the more angled the roof is, the more light you get in the structure. So you're doing everything you can in these high tunnels to accumulate light. So if you had a more angled, steeper pitch roof, you get more light intensity. So every little bit helps in there.
How do the support things along the side there?
These things? Well, that's just cross-lacing on ropes that are put through eye bolts on the side to keep the sidewall from flapping back and forth. And somebody mentioned how do you keep plastic from flopping on high tunnels and high wind? Was it you? You can use ropes. I mean, you can use the other strapping too. But I've seen ropes just used over the frame or over the plastic, and that works pretty good too. It's the same type of rope as what they use on the sides there. So yeah, you can get damage from heavy snow, and we didn't have nearly the snow that Pam showed. In advance of planting these cool season crops, you need to, of course, do a soil test. And apply compost if you need to do so. I will add a word of caution about compost. There's some people that think that they can provide all their nutrients with compost, and that's a huge mistake, because if you want to try to apply all the nitrogen you need for the crops you're going to grow in here through compost, you're putting on a lot of compost. And so when you're putting on a lot of compost, you're also putting on a lot of phosphorus and potassium and salts. So you actually are doing more damage than good. So I recommend what they call maintenance level compost in here, probably up to a pound per square foot. So you don't really want to put high rates of compost in there. But this, if you want to be strictly organic, you could supplement this with cover crops. Cover crops work real well as a winter cover crop, or you could add some other organic fertilizers in there. The soil is ridged up by hand mostly, although you can get tractors in there and form beds. There's no problem with doing that. They make compressed bed shapers now that will get in there and make raised beds. But I can't stress enough the importance of raised beds in these high tunnels. I mean, it's easier to pick off a raised bed, but it really helps the plant grow a lot better. So, and they can be wider, and some of them are just ridged up high enough so you can get one row per bed, or if you're making a 40-inch wide bed like this, you can get 8 rows of crops in there, or you can do a double row on some crops if you need to do that. These are the raised beds I made at our high tunnel we built this past year, just by hand, just by rototiller. So you can use framed boards in there, and a lot of folks are interested in that, because particularly if you want to bring in soil that you, maybe your soil is not so great on your site where you're building your high tunnel, just bring in topsoil and fill these beds up with the topsoil, and that's fine. That works really well. We've used water bags around plants to store heat. Water is an excellent way to accumulate heat in these high tunnels. And anything you can do to use water that doesn't get in the way, that doesn't affect plant growth, works really well. So we've done some projects with that. Putting it in barrels. These barrels can be put on the end wall, the north end wall, which is your end wall that gets less light. I recommend mostly running these north-south, although Barbara will talk about later. We want to test whether north-south or east-west is the optimal direction. But generally, I run them north-south and put something on the north end wall to shield it from the cold winds of the winter and without worrying about losing light. We took some folks up to Penn State last summer, and we got to see some of the float beds they put in their high tunnels. These are just, and during the winter, the water is warmed through a water heater. In the summer, the water stays naturally cool, so it's a good way to grow salad greens throughout the year. This is Jim Weichel's farm. Jim uses a supplemental heater for his strawberries. His strawberries are in full bloom, may have a low temperature night, so he puts a portable heater in there, gets in through the freeze, uses the row covers too. So there's no reason why you can't have a backup heater in these structures just to get you over really severe freezes. We use a six-row pinpoint seeder for seeding. These are sold by Johnny Seed. These cost about $500, but if you're growing salad greens, these are nice precision seeders because they give you just a uniform depth of seeding, and you adjust the height and depth of it by the handle. They've got the rollers on it that sort of cover the furrow up, that it opens real even. We seed a lot of lettuce. If you're really seeding by hand, there's no reason why you can't get pelleted lettuce seed. It's a little bit more expensive, but it's a lot easier to seed it. Okay, but make sure you get your seeds from a good seed company. Get good germination. Anything you can do on these winter crops to get good germination by putting low tunnels over them are really important. And these are low tunnels covered with plastic. And this plastic has, you can see the holes in it, it's perforated. So it's a mini greenhouse, but you're storing a lot of heat at a low level. And they really work very well, particularly during the winter. They don't work during the spring and summer because they overheat too fast. But I highly recommend them for these winter crops in there. So the row covers are, as I showed, were suspended over the crops in different ways. With row covers, without row covers, it's night and day. I mean, there's no need to go back through it and try to test them again because we've seen the effects of them. So I recommend getting a medium weight row cover, either a half ounce or a 1 ounce row cover for these crops. The 1/2 ounce row cover, you can always put two layers of it to get the 1 ounce. And if you need to have more light, you can pull one layer off but still have the protection. So either the 0.5 ounce or the 1 ounce would get you through the winter without any problem. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you talking about, and then also the row covers, or?
Well, I think you could use the row covers too, but definitely if you have just one layer of plastic, the row covers you definitely need. But you wouldn't need the row covers if you had double plastic as much. And there's a dark side to using row covers in these high tunnels, is that they do block a lot of light in a time when you need light. So, for example, like I said, those crops that we seeded mostly the end of October. First part of November, which is about the tail end of the seeding window for these winter crops. We put a row cover over them from early December until almost February 14th. So that row cover was over them for 2 solid months. But we were blocking a lot of light, and that's a problem. So when light level started increasing, that row cover had to go off to get light. I had some questions yesterday about irrigation, and you rarely irrigate in these high tunnels during the winter. You'd be surprised how moist the soil stays. There's little evaporation because the temperatures aren't very high. You don't have wind on the soil, so you're not losing water that way. And I tell folks that it's better to keep plants on the dry side during the winter because it makes them more tolerant to cold temperature. So watering is not a huge issue until they start growing fast again in March. So you're not going to have to do a lot of that. So just some winter crops that we've looked at, and they're all cool season crops. And some of these are widely grown in the garden. Some of them can take colder temperatures than others. It really depends upon the crop. And spinach is probably the most reliable crop to grow in these high tunnels, and Elliot Coleman calls this his dependable crop. I mean, it's a fail-safe for these structures. In fact, if I had any other crop, if I had any crop to grow in there, it probably would be spinach and carrots. They are the highest volume, probably easiest crops to market. Spinach is good because it can take low light levels, it can take extremely cold weather, it has very few pest problems. We're battling downy mildew in these structures on our lettuce, but most spinach varieties are very resistant to downy mildew, and they bred them so that they have good resistance to it. So we're averaging 12 to 20 ounces of spinach per square foot. So you may be making, over the course of this growing season in the high tunnel, you may be making 4 to 6 harvests of spinach off of this. So the yields are fairly good with this crop. Chickweed, which is our other issue, weeds, which we'll talk about there. That space, recommend growing a smooth leaf spinach variety. It's easier to wash. So you put it in a mesh bag, dip it in water, put it in a salad spinner, then bag it in a Ziploc bag or whatever. Or we use recycled, pull the label off and use recycled salad containers like this, and it's perfect. You probably know this, anybody who's grown spinach, but there's no comparison between winter-grown spinach and store-bought spinach. It's almost sweet because plants that grow slow in cool temperatures accumulate sugars as such. They don't respire them away as carbohydrates. So it almost has just a unique flavor to it. And if anybody hates spinach, they've never tried fresh spinach just cut. So. And I can't get into all the health benefits of spinach, but you probably already knew that. Pam mentioned chard, almost out of time, but this is a good crop to grow in the high tunnel in low light, cool weather. And also the interesting thing about Swiss chard is it's a good heat-tolerant crop. It's considered to be one of the best summer greens that you can grow. So it's a year-round producer. And if you have people that like chard, and I'm one of them, I highly recommend growing this stuff. And that's the rainbow chard, you know, it's a mix of different colored petioles bunched up like this. You can either sell the larger leaves. This actually is Pam's chard. You can cut some of the larger leaves off of it and just keep doing the multiple harvesting on the leaves. Or you could cut it as a baby leaf salad green. Just seed it real thick and just stick multiple cuttings off of it. Either way, works really good. The other side about chard is any plant that has color to it, purple or red or yellow, is cold tolerant. Anthocyanins, which give these plants these colors, tend to be give the plant more freeze tolerance. So bear that in mind. Beet greens, I love beets. Beets are an excellent crop to cut either for the greens or for baby beets, so they do well in there. Kohlrabi, how many people grow kohlrabi in here? Great. It's just like there's this trend towards people growing more and more kohlrabi across the state. Yeah, well, it's becoming, you know, the cabbage substitute, and it's an easy, fast-growing cold crop, very cold-tolerant, has a sweet flavor to it. Maybe some folks don't know how to eat it or prepare it. You know, it can be cooked. Most people eat it raw. It's used in coleslaw a lot. But you can eat the leaves off of it. And we have different varieties of kohlrabi being grown in there. So it's not like something like broccoli where it would bolt if you had it in there. So it doesn't bolt as easy. So that's some of the kohlrabi. Kale, probably one of the most cold-tolerant plants you can grow. Kale can be frozen, thaw out, freeze, thaw out. It can take all that. And that actually concentrates the flavor of it. So these freezing events sort of give the plants a unique flavor. So Red Russian, Winter Boar are two popular kales that are grown in these high tunnels. for winter production. And they're either usually just cut the lower leaves off the plant and just keep bagging them up with the salad greens. And you can have some that are have some pretty good color to it. And there's dinosaur kale, which is extremely cold tolerant. So it's also becoming popular. Collards can be grown. Asian greens. Some of you are growing Chinese cabbages. This is something that you grow in a high tunnel probably in late fall or early spring. It'd be hard to overwinter Chinese cabbages in the high tunnels because they would probably bolt. So you really would want to put them as a late fall crop or an early spring crop. So there's no reason why you can't have these crops either as the tail end of the farmer's market, October, November, or the front end of the farmer's market in April and May. There's almost a void of produce at these farmer's markets in April and May. So we really need to start filling them up with some of these leafy greens. I can't leave without talking about lettuce. There's a lot of different lettuce varieties to grow in there. We've got some romaines, we've got leaf lettuces, and we've got some of the butter crunch types, and they all do fairly well. My favorite so far is the green oak leaf type. It has, which Johnny sells, very resistant to downy mildew, and it can take low light, and it's just a great leaf lettuce if you want to grow that. So soil temperature is staying above 40 degrees, so if you wanted to have these salad greens for an early spring crop, you could seed them in a high tunnel now and get germination, because lettuce and spinach will germinate at temperatures above 35 degrees. So that's all you need to get your crops established. I had a grower yesterday call me from Georgia who wanted to plant tomatoes in a high tunnel, and he didn't know when, so I said, well, just look at your soil temperature. I don't know when on the calendar you can plant these crops, but it all depends on soil temperature. So, you know, that's your index for your planting window. And those are some of the greens. Folks had a chance to sample our salad turnips yesterday. These are the Hockeri turnips, very cold tolerant, fast growing. You can eat the tops, you can eat the bulbs, or eat the roots off of them. And they really are an attractive plant. Carrots we have growing, very slow growing, but they're cold tolerant. Again, carrots get much sweeter in the winter because of the slower growth, so you have a better quality with them. And we've done some carrot works over time. One thing I will warn you about is you can, because most of these crops are grown without mulch. Again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. You want to have exposed soil as much as you can to store heat. So they're really not grown around mulch. So as a result, you can get some weed competition, mostly from winter annual weeds, such as the chickweeds. This is mostly mouse ear chickweed, but you can get some of the cresses, and henbit are some of the problems. But mostly the chickweed is the big problem. But once it gets in with the spinach, it all gets cut. You know, put in the sink. It's all edible, right, in the end. So it just gets put into the salad bag. No, seriously, but it can be a problem. You know, so my suggestion is, oh, and so the way you deal with that is you buy a hand weeder, which Terry, who's going to talk next, told me I spent $25 too much for this. And it was $25.50. So he says that I could use a paint roller and just use the same thing. So. But I like the wood handle on it. So. But you could go right down through the center between these rows. Most of these rows are 4 inches wide, and you can get that weeder between them. If you use that pinpoint seeder, the rows are 2 to 3 inches apart, so they're very dense. So that growth of the crop shades out weeds or competes against weeds. So that's another way to do it. It's just overseed very thick, and then it'll crowd out the weeds itself. But if you're seeding by hand, or if you're transplanting and you can't get the density of plants and you have weed problems, you can always go in there with a light wire weeder, which is what they call that, and take those weeds out. We have grown lettuce on plastic, which is okay, but not my favorite thing to do because it's harder to grow it. And those are some things. And this is downy mildew, if you've ever seen it on lettuce. It can take out entire row of lettuce, and it's a huge problem. The constant dripping from that plastic onto the plants exacerbates this problem. And it can be something like that. Aphids, I would warn you about, too. These are potato aphids, which we haven't seen this year, but they can be a severe problem on leafy salad greens. So what I told the folks yesterday was, These high tunnels are great for detecting pest problems because you're almost working in the crop every day or every other day. So you're able to see if something's moving in or if something's wrong, and you can react to it fast. That's the key to controlling aphids in these high tunnels, is find those hot spots and either rogue those plants or spot treat it or bring in beneficials or something like that. But this is a perfect crop for leafy salad greens that you need to be aware of as well. Just on the downy mildew, the first line of defense against downy mildew is variety resistance. There are pesticides that can be sprayed on there. If you're interested in organic options for downy mildew control, there's a new product called Regalia, which has been labeled. It's a natural fungus that's sprayed on the leaves and will control downy mildew. So it's so that's kind of where I'll leave you at. We'll have a series of workshops around the state on different high tunnel crops. So just stay tuned in your area. If you see something coming up, we'll have some tours and things. But I'll be happy to take any questions if anybody has it. And I'm bringing on my next time. Maybe one question, yeah.
Example of Asian green.
Yeah. I think some of the, the arugula or the mizuna and some of the Chinese kale, I have not grown a lot of these Asian greens themselves. Johnny's has a whole section on Asian greens that, you may just trial to see if they are marketable in your area, but I actually haven't grown a wide diversity of them, other than the Chinese cabbages, which I found to be pretty easy to grow. Oh, it's just, there's such a wide selection of them. And the main thing is, I think, with these Asian greens is there's some reluctance whether consumers will accept them or they're different. So people have been pretty slow about growing them in the high tunnels. But I think if people try them at the farmer's market, they'll be back for more. And, there'll be an opportunity. But the sky's the limit on salad greens that you can grow in here. I mean, it's just across the board on there. It's just depending on what your market will buy. I mean, some of these crops could maybe be a little too exotic for a traditional farmer's market, but if that's the case, grow broccoli or grow spinach and some of these other cool season crops. Okay, so I'm going to turn it over to my next speaker, Terry. Come forward, and I'll introduce you. Welcome.